Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Peter Cardwell and you're with Talk TV. Today we're asking about a new report which says there is now a dangerous climate of harassment and censorship, with 76% of people not expressing their opinion out of fear. Are you one of them? Give us a call. Let me know. 0344 499 1000. Text me at 7222 with the word talk in your text, or tweet us on X at Talk TV. Well, joining me today to run through the top stories is writer and commentator Candace Holdsworth. Great to have you with us. Really, really worrying. We're going to talk to Sarah Khan in just a second, but she's talking about a new phrase I think we all need to learn: freedom-restricting harassment. It's not just people at the top of society, it's all over the place that people are being told they can't say certain things, Candace.
Yes, I know. And, you know, I mean, of course you see it at the extreme end where you get threats of political violence and intimidation. But I think there are milder forms of it as well. I mean, you see sort of mobbing and bullying behaviour that happens on social media.
Even the really low-level stuff, self-censorship, people not saying things because they fear in a workplace, for example, that they'll be cancelled.
Yes, and I think it also filters down to the schools as well. I mean, what you're seeing is a generation that's sort of grown up online, and teachers are saying that they're very afraid of expressing their opinion. Yeah. You know, rather than being able to just say, OK, this is what I think, they kind of find people who they know will agree with them.
Yes.
And it's something that we have to really...
And that's a form of self-censorship.
It is. Yeah. We have to cultivate in schools kids being able to self-express and respect different opinions. It's
yes,
so important.
Exactly. Well, Candace, we'll come back to you throughout the morning, but I want to talk to the report's author, because urgent action is needed to protect the resilience of British democracy and social cohesion, according to the new government report we've been discussing. And joining me now is its author and the independent government advisor for social cohesion and resilience, Dame Sarah Khan. Thank you very much indeed for joining me. I've been reading all about this yesterday and today, Sarah, and the thing that really worries me most of all is what you've written about in your article in the Daily Telegraph today. A specific form of harassment, which you refer to as freedom-restricting harassment, is not just affecting politicians and high-profile individuals. It's having a negative impact on people from many backgrounds and professions, not least teachers, police officers, journalists, civic society activists, and those working in the arts and local councillors. Tell us about your findings, Sarah, on this really, what I think, is a very important report.
So my review, it looks at contemporary threats to social cohesion and democratic resilience. And one of those threats is what I have termed freedom-restricting harassment. And by that, I mean when people experience or witness threatening, intimidatory, abusive harassment, either online and or offline, which is then intended to make people and institutions to censor or self-censor out of fear. And as you've rightly addressed, you know, over the last couple of months and even in the last couple of years, there has been a lot of commentary and concern about how parliamentarians, people in public life are often on the front line of receiving this abuse. But my report shows for the first time this is a much broader phenomenon, which is poisoning the lifeblood of our political and civic life. So we carried out some polling, for example, which showed that over three quarters of the population have refrained from sharing a personal opinion in public out of fear of receiving freedom-restricting harassment. Nearly half of the public, having witnessed others experiencing this freedom-restricting harassment, have then chosen to self-censor because, again, of fear of receiving freedom-restricting harassment. I was shocked by the fact that 27% of respondents to our poll have described what they describe as life-altering consequences of freedom-restricting harassment. So the fact that there are people in our country who've had to move house, who've had to take additional security measures, who have had to change or they've even lost their job because of this type of abuse. So it's deeply concerning. And when we asked the British public, well, how concerned are you about freedom restricting harassment, 7 in 10 of the public were deeply concerned that it was restricting their ability to live and speak freely in our democracy, that it was censoring the way they were able to live their lives personally and professionally. But they were also concerned that it was having a negative impact on the way we are able to live together as a diverse democracy, and also that it was going to restrict people from contributing to public life in the future. So as I say in my report, this is a toxic and insidious threat to our democracy, to freedom of expression, and to many of the democratic rights and freedoms that our country has fought for centuries, which we must do more to protect.
We are the home of free speech here at Talk TV, and you can say what you want within the law, Sarah. Where is this coming from?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and we've not looked at what are the motivating factors, what is causing and driving this phenomenon in our country. I mean, I suspect it's a whole range of different views, from having spoken to a wide range of victims and having looked at all the evidence collectively. I suspect, obviously, social media has coarsened public life. It's coarsened up the way we talk with each other. Dialogue now seems to be very much a dirty word, where we don't want to engage in meaningful dialogue, even with people whose views we may disagree with. That is something that's really important, that we don't stay in our own echo chambers. Engaging in different opinions really matter. But I also think there are more deeper rooted problems. I think, obviously, in a cost of living crisis, people feel resentment, people feel anger, they have grievances about the way their life is currently at the moment. There's a lot of data that shows there's a disillusionment with democracy. People feel there's a lack of trust with politicians, with political parties. They don't trust the press, for example. So all of these wider factors, I think, is contributing to this kind of sense of, well, if I don't like your political opinion, if I don't like your particular job or profession, it justifies me to behave in a certain way. And of course it doesn't. But I think this is a much more deeper rooted societal problem that we've got to get better at addressing.
There is absolutely no doubt that what you say is right. But there is kind of the elephant in the room here as well, is there not, Sarah Khan, in that Islamist intimidation of many people? You were, of course, this report was basically prompted by the Batley Grammar School affair. I want to ask you about Islamist intimidation in our society, because that is a major threat. The security services deal with that, the police deal with that, but it's more insidious and it's more widespread, isn't it?
There's no doubt that there are people who are experiencing Islamist intimidation. Yes, I evidenced a whole range of cases. I mean, one of the cases that I demonstrate is how Muslims themselves were at the forefront of receiving that intimidation. I mean, I remember speaking to an imam, for example, a scientist, and he's also an academic. And because Islamists in this country did not like his view and did not support his moderate beliefs, and because he was a vocal critic of Islamist extremism, he regularly received death threats. I mean, this imam had to have 18 months of police protection. And I remember him saying to me that he had to have his children cowering under the kitchen table because they were so fearful that Islamists were going to attack him. Of course, there's a real sense of Islamist extremists intimidating and threatening people. But my report goes wider. It shows that there's a real challenge of far-right extremists as well. I mean, I spoke to counsellors who were telling me that they were being stalked and threatened by far-right extremists and were feeling very, very fearful by that. But the interesting thing around freedom restricting harassment is it is not just extremists who are engaging in this activity. It is a much broader section of society who feel it is legitimate and justifiable to threaten people, to engage in intimidation.
Let's get into that, Sarah, because I want to ask you, we've talked about the sort of high-level, very dangerous threats, harassment, intimidation. We've talked a little bit about that, but I want to talk about the more low-level stuff, the workplaces, the places where people feel they can't say things. Just tell me how that manifests itself. Some people watching this and listening to this will say, I know how it manifests itself, but what did you find in your report?
So I think it definitely feeds into this wider climate that I'm talking about. But I also think it's really important that we are very clear about what freedom restricting harassment is, because, of course, there is already legislation to deal with harassment. And there's censorship. What freedom restricting harassment, what's so unique about it? It's when harassment, quite extreme forms of harassment, then lead to censorship. So it's that phenomenon together that makes it really quite insidious. So if people, for example, are sharing a particular opinion, or, for example, let me give you the arts and cultural sector. There's been quite a lot of surveys recently that have shown that people who work in the arts and cultural sector, 45% have experienced intimidation, bullying, harassment, ostracization just because of maybe some of the controversial yet legitimate nature of their work. As a result of that, around 44% of those people who have experienced that abuse have then changed their product or their programs or their plans, just showing how, because of a direct result of that harassment, they have then changed their product because of what they are doing.
And this is the tail wagging the dog, isn't it, Sarah? This is the tail wagging the dog, isn't it, Sarah? We have a small minority, well, of people. And you, I mean, you've talked about the 76% of people who have had to change their opinions. And I just think this is incredibly worrying. I know this was prompted as well by the Batley Grammar School affair with the teacher who showed the image, the cartoon of the of Muhammad. I wonder, I know you interviewed him for your report. How, within the realms of what you can say on national television, how is he doing?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I mean, just to be very clear before I answer that question, Peter, my report was commissioned actually before what happened at Batley, just as a matter of clarification.
Okay, sure.
So yes, I have spoken to him and I'm in regular contact with him. And I mean, strangely enough, today, Peter, is 3 years to the day when he was forced into hiding. As I show in my report, he is currently suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. At the time of the incident, he was suicidal, not solely just because of what happened to him, but actually because of the failure of the local agencies who he thought would have helped him, and that compounded his suicidal thoughts. And you know, let's remember what happened to him. This was an individual, a teacher, who had taught this lesson four times previously. He was just doing what any other individual was doing. He was
delivering. And this is the fear that so many people have, Sarah, isn't it? That if you do something that falls foul of a mob, essentially, and there were a mob who intimidated him, you will be hung out to dry by the authorities and by the structures that are meant to protect you, that are meant to protect freedom of speech, freedom of thought in this country. There's just no backup, yes, a lot of people feel.
And that's what I show in report, that victims of freedom restricting harassment, whether it's the Batley teacher, whether it's academics or journalists or anybody else, they are simply not being even recognised as victims. They're not even recognised as victims of crime, necessarily. The victim's code does not necessarily apply to them, which is why I'm calling on the government to officially recognise this phenomenon of freedom-restricting harassment, to ensure that we recognise and support victims of freedom-restricting harassment. Because if we don't do something about this growing phenomenon, and let me be very clear, from our polling, 60% of the public think this has got worse in the last 5 years. If we don't do something about this, I'm afraid we will see an erosion of these precious democratic rights and freedoms of our country. That is something that we cannot tolerate. This is what marks us out as different to authoritarian countries, for example. Our plural democracy, the right to free speech, the right to exercise our democratic rights and freedoms as citizens. And it's the government's responsibility to ensure that those rights are protected, which is why I'm calling on them to officially recognise this form of harassment, and also to do much more to tackle the many contemporary threats I've identified in my review. Because at the moment, Peter, there is no adequate infrastructure that deals with any of the threats that I've outlined, and that is simply not acceptable.
You've given a lot of advice to government in terms of what they should do, Sarah, and I think it's very, very sensible. What would you say to the man and woman on the street, the people watching this interview, who are self-censoring, who are not saying what they really feel within the law? How should they express those opinions? What should they do? How should they change their behaviour, do you think, Sarah?
So this is a really important question. I mean, I suppose I take it from two aspects. I mean, I, as an individual, I have experienced freedom restricting harassment, so I know what it feels like, and everybody is different. And I can't tell people how they should behave because everyone has different levels of tolerance. I mean, I would always encourage people to go to the police, report the level of harassment that they're experiencing. Me, myself personally, I'm the type of person where if someone tells me not to do something, I'll very much do the opposite. If anyone tries to curtail my right to do what I want to do, whether it's a speech or anything else,
well,
that actually just winds me up even. But again, everyone's different, and I don't expect everyone to behave in the same way as I do. What I would also say is that, you know, at the end of the day, there will be people we know who engage in this behaviour, friends, colleagues, family. And it's important on all of us that we have to respect other people's rights and freedoms. If we want our rights and freedoms to be respected, we have to recognise others. If we dislike somebody's political opinion or whatever opinion they may hold, let's have that passionate debate as we do in this country. Let's have a good dialogue and even an angry debate. But surely we have to accept as a nation that when we start issuing death threats, when we start issuing rape threats, when we start doxing people's private information into the public domain, that are the red lines that we have to accept is just unacceptable. And I think those kinds of issues are something we as a society must have a debate about.
Thank you so much, Dame Sarah Cannon. You're doing important work. Really appreciate you coming on the programme. Candace, Sarah makes some really, really good points there, doesn't she? And it is essentially about what I try to do on my programme, which is to disagree without being disagreeable. That's what we have to learn to do as a society.
It feels like we do need to start cultivating those values again. We've sort of lost them a little bit. But it's like she said, you have to have a certain sort of personality in the current environment to be able to do that in these very febrile times. And I'm sure it's been like that throughout history.
Well, there's so much fear, isn't
there?
There's so much fear that you'll be cancelled, that someone won't like you or will say, not just I disagree with your opinion, but that you're a bad person for believing what you believe. I was talking to someone a couple of days ago who happens to work for the Conservative Party. She was on a date. She mentioned her job. The guy got up and walked out.
I know. This is such a problem. We're siloing and we're falling into echo chambers. And that's why I say I think it really needs to start in schools. We need to start teaching children to self-express. And not only that their opinion is important, but other people's opinion is important as well. And actually, you can learn from other people. You don't know everything. Actually, other opinions can help you understand the world better.
And have your opinion challenged, because if you have your opinion challenged, you'll know why you believe it. And
nobody
should be afraid to have their opinions. Well, thank you very, very much indeed. Candace, we'll come back to you throughout the programme. And today we are asking about that new report, which says there is now a dangerous climate of harassment and censorship, with 76% of people not expressing their opinion out of fear. Are you one of them? You can give us a call on 0344 499 1000. You can text me on 87222 with the word talk in your text, or get in touch on X at Talk TV. Noah's done that. He says, I have no shame saying exactly what I think. Good for you, Noah. Maureen says it's actually worse than that. People are afraid to say what they see. And Brian says, I'm fearful, but I'm compelled to be honest and speak up. I need to maintain integrity for me, not them. Well, some of you have been getting in touch on the phones as well. Keep those calls coming. Heather is in Scotland. Heather, you're very welcome to the programme this morning. What would you like to say?
Do you know what you and Candace speak right now? I agree with both of you there, because I was brought up to speak your mind and to be truthful and honest with integrity. And I agree with you, with Peter, about disagreement. You have a right to disagree with your opinions.
And we need to not fear that, Heather. We need to not fear disagreeing with one another.
Everybody's have a right to express their own opinions and thoughts, but one key element is respect.
Yeah.
That is the fundamental problem of society, of this world. There's a lack of respect of how people talk, how people express their own opinions and use their own words. And no one can't put words in your own mind, in your own mouth. You are entitled to speak your own mind, because that's what freedom of speech is all about. It's use your own passion and be more thoughtful and creative with your mind without making threats or making intimidation on people, because that is wrong.
Do you worry about being saying something that people will counsel you for, or is an opinion that's unacceptable to other people, or do you just get out there and express your opinion?
I don't like people being shut down whatsoever. I believe in that fundamental clause of people should have the right to express their own opinions, whether you agree or disagree.
Yep, absolutely.
Heather, what Candace is saying, and I want to say to Candace, if I may, because I believe what Candace is saying, because she is right on every single key element of that.
There we go.
On Talk TV, everybody on Talk TV, expressed your own opinion.
We certainly do, Heather, and thank you for doing so yourself as well, and thanks for those kind words, Heather. And yes, we do, we are the home of free speech. We want to hear your opinions, controversial or not. Anything within the law, we will broadcast it on this station.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.